This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
And it is time for the Drive to the Close. Jason Kelly and Carol Masser are here with you. We're joined now by Leo Kelly, no relation, founder, chief executive officer, co-CIO of Verdance Capital Advisors, overseeing about $2 billion in client assets. He joins us on the phone from Baltimore. I mean, who knows, Leo? Maybe you and I are long lost cousins. That would be nice. You seem like a delightful, smart guy.
There's a few of us Kellys around. That might be the case.
There are a lot of us wandering around. It's funny. My parents are over in Ireland right now, like in the old country. You know, it's like the home county. And, you know, I don't know.
Is there Kellys everywhere?
There are Kellys everywhere. Yeah. Leo knows that. All right. So, Mr. Kelly, tell us about what's going on in this market, because I feel like it's a trade on the trade right now. How do you make sense of it?
Well, I think the way you make sense of it is to stay focused on investing and not trading. The market has clearly become very attuned to headlines, and one day it's a China trade, and obviously last fall it was the Fed, and you know, we don't know what the next issue is going to be. So I think what we do to stay sane in this environment is take into account the actions that are occurring in the marketplace, but more importantly, how do they affect earnings over a more extended period of time? I think the biggest mistake investors make in an environment like this is when points of stress enter the market, it's amazing. At the very time you should extend your point of view and the length of your view, investors tend to shrink it in points of stress, which is absolutely the worst thing you can do.
So it is kind of an interesting point, and we do see some names that have gotten cheaper over the last month or so. Is that an opportunity for you, Leo?
So the way we see it is, has the market moved enough to change a 2 to 3 year point of view? So when we set strategies in our portfolios, we're looking at 7, 10 year cycles. That's a full market cycle. And when we make tactical shifts, it's a 2 to 3 year point of view. If you're inside that time horizon, then you're trading. And so specifically, Carol, when we look back at what occurred in the fall of last year, the market moved down over 20% in most markets, and obviously many sectors were down far, far greater than that. We were very active in that marketplace because that's enough of a move to shift the risk-return phenomena in the market. A 4% move, which is where we are now, That's not enough. Again, then you're just, all you're doing there is a headline's creating a small opportunity, and you're looking for a headline to give you a small trade, and that's not the business we're in.
And, you know, I wonder when you think about this longer duration, I know that one area that you direct clients to, which is much longer term and often in a good way, is private equity. So how do you pick, how do you choose, and what do you talk to clients about in terms of how that fits into a portfolio strategy?
Well, our point of view on private equity is it is an asset that over time, if done correctly, if well diversified, just like public equity, has produced returns higher than the market with less volatility, obviously, just because portfolios aren't marked minute by minute as the public markets are. Now, it doesn't mean it's less risk, right? We're still buying businesses. They're still subject to economic swings. We're still subject to a tariff war in China or a trade war and all of that. But it's just not at the whim of the market pricing it day by day.
Right. And so the liquidity or lack thereof sort of cuts both ways, right?
Yeah, so you're giving up liquidity, you're lowering volatility, but you're increasing return potential.
Yeah.
So for us, the key for us is we want to buy smaller deals that are more niche plays. I love income. Give me something boring with big income, especially in a world where there's almost no yield anywhere. I mean, Germany, you've got to pay the government to hold your money. That's kind of absurd. So give me a deal that I can generate a lot of income, or give me above average growth rate of a business like small middle market buyouts. That's something a client can hold.
Right.
And if they, again, have that long point of view, it's a very interesting risk return phenomenon.
Well, you know, and it's kind of interesting. I am curious, too, what you think the U.S.-China trade situation ultimately, though, if it goes on longer and longer, does it mean that we're kind of stuck where we are, or even more pressure, though, overall on the financial market environment?
Well, I think, Carol, the first part of that is, can it go on and on? And I don't think it can. The environment we are in is two very tough negotiators, and they're sitting at the opposite end of the table, and they're both hoping the other one will flinch. But both have something to lose. And the question, I think, is who is going to get hurt worse quicker, if that's proper English. So you have China, and obviously China's at a bit of a disadvantage here. Look at the stock market return differences. Look at yield differences. The Chinese market is under incredible stress and strain. They've just opened up reserve requirements to try to stimulate lending and get their economy going again. This is painful for them. And the very weapon they used against us for years and years to build their economy is now coming back to haunt them a bit, and that is being a huge exporter of their goods, as well as tying themselves to the dollar. Both those things have had an impact on China now and put them in this position where the U.S. is very strong. The stock market is still at high levels,
right,
and we're still seeing incredible economic activity. So I think it puts us an advantage. So they need to get this done. They can't go on forever with this. And by the way, 2020 is coming. I think we need to get this done. Trump needs to get this done as well. He's equally motivated.
Well, we'll certainly see where it comes out. Leo Kelly, founder, chief executive officer, and co-CIO of Verdant Capital Advisors, on the phone with us from Baltimore. Thanks for listening to Bloomberg Business Week. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com. You can also listen to our radio show every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern, only on Bloomberg Radio.